food that never reaches the hungry, a cure never administered, love never shared, faith without action. How can these things change the world?
I promise you, if you got to see the video, it would just drive that point even deeper inside your heart and soul. But if you were able to hear the words that they were saying, like paint that's never used, a well that's without water, a cure that's never administered, so is our faith without action. We're leaving Wednesday morning at 3 a.m. Please be praying for us, because 3 a.m. is way too early to be going anywhere but still in bed. We're going up, and there's going to be 40, I think you're right, about 43, something like that. We're going up with Brother Dan Sims' church, Tim Sims' church. Sorry, Brother Dan, you just got a church and didn't know it. Well, Brother Tim Sims' church and another church from Virginia. Right now we have over 35,000 tracts that we're planning on giving out. We're going to be working with Travis Sharp and the Unsheltered Ministry, setting up some homeless relief, trying to help them get their birth certificates and some other things together so that they can try to get back on their feet and get their life straightened out. And then at night, we have the opportunity and the blessing of setting up on a street corner in downtown Gary, Indiana, and preaching the gospel and singing. And then Billy told me Wednesday, he said, we're going to have the amplifier so boosted that people will hear it 5 blocks away. He said, so when it's your turn to preach, son, you better just throw down and preach salvation like you've never preached it before. But the whole purpose and the whole goal for us going is because we want to put our faith into action. Just as an old well sitting up behind the house does no one good until you start pumping the handle and until the water starts coming out, that well is nothing there. And in some cases, when you go to clean your yard or do something, it can actually be an eyesore and be in the way. Our faith must have action. Take your Bible and turn to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. We're talking tonight about faith without works. Faith without works. I was telling Brother Steve Lance as we were standing up getting ready to do the offering, I said, I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room of rocking chairs. I get excited every time I get up to preach, but tonight I feel like I'm wound up so tight I can't see straight. I'm wound up. I had to go and take an extra long shower this evening just trying to calm down, because I got off the phone with Brother David. I got so excited because I just couldn't wait to get up and preach. And you know what I'm talking about. Kyle sitting there grinning from ear to ear. He knows exactly. I mean, you ready to preach? I mean, I was sitting there on the edge of the chair a while ago. I was going to just forget the music. Let's go. I'm ready. James chapter 2 and verse number 14. We're going to read a few verses and then I'll hit a couple others as we go. James chapter 2 and verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Skip down to verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Savior, we come to you tonight thanking you, Lord, that you have given us this place to meet together, to worship and praise you, to meet together and learn more about you, to meet together and to study your word and to grow in your grace and your knowledge. And I ask you, dear God, tonight that you would help us. I ask you, dear God, tonight that you would make your word to come alive and true just like you did this morning and pierce our hearts and our souls. And God, may we go out of here with a message that we cannot get away from. And God, may you take our faith. May you put more life to it than we've ever dreamed possible. May we do more for your glory. I ask you, Lord, right now that you would hide me behind the cross, that no one here would be able to leave saying that I did a good job or that they saw me. But God, I beg and I plead with you, Lord, that they would see nothing but you. This is my heart's cry, Lord. I beg you and I plead with you. Have your will and way. In Jesus' name. Amen. I need a couple guinea pigs or volunteers. Let's see. DJ, come with me, buddy. Kyle, if DJ's up here, I got to have somebody to keep him in line. I need one more. Hunter, will you be my help too? They demonstrated faith already because none of them trust me as it is. But to get up in front of people, DJ's already scared to death of what I may ask him to do. You ever done a chair train before where one person sits and kneels and the other one works off of that? So here we go. Now, Hunter here, my buddy Hunter, poor Hunter, you fall for anything. Hunter's going to be the first chair. And if he doesn't have faith and trust me to do this, then the other two are not going to make it. So Hunter, I want you to come over here. We're going to use the side of the pulpit as your backrest, and I want you to do this. I don't want you to lean there. I'm going to hold the other side to make sure once them two get on there. But I want you to sit here just like that. Okay. Now, Kyle, I want you to sit right here on the edge of his lap. Now, you got to slide on out a little bit more. You got to be right on out on the edge of his knees. Now, you're in Kyle's lap. You okay, Hunter? Yep. DJ, it's not a recliner. It's not a lazy boy. You okay there, Hunter? Lighter contenders. Now, for Kyle to do that, what did he have to do? He had to sit down. Yes, he had to sit down. But he had to have faith that Hunter would be still and do that. For DJ to get on there, he's like, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I'll do whatever. I mean, you know, just for the fun of it. But he had to have faith that Kyle would stay there. But it didn't do them any good to stand there and say they're going to do that until they put their faith into action. Now, DJ, stand up. Go ahead, Kyle, and stand up, please. Y'all can have a seat. Thank you very much. You see, as long as they were sitting down there, they didn't put that faith into action. Until they got up here and actually did it, that faith had no point. That faith had no place. When Hunter first squatted down here, he didn't have a clue what was going on, but he had faith that I said it would be okay. Now, his legs may be telling him otherwise now. But what good is our faith if we don't get up and put it to work? What good is our faith if we keep it to ourselves, if we don't take it out? Our pastor has been preaching his heart out on Sundays and just been preaching about, you know, our country and how it was founded and how we need to be in our place and we need to serve God and we need to do things. And I tell you what, I'm behind him 100,000,000%. I believe with all my heart that outside these four walls is where the battle's going on. And if we don't take what we have in here out there, what good is it doing them? Because the ones outside there are the ones we need to be compelling to come in here so that they can get what they need. Faith without works. I've got three statements tonight. I told a couple people that I'd be preaching tonight, so it'd be short and sweet and they'd get to go home early. So let's get rolling. Three statements about faith without works that we have right here. Now, Brother David's mentioned this before and you've heard it from other preachers. Anytime God repeats something in the Bible, he says, take extra notice. Three times in these verses, he uses the term or the phrase in some way, shape, form, faith without works. The first time he sees it in verse number 17, and we find faith without works is useless. Faith without works is useless. And he uses the verses before that to support it. In verse number 17, he says, and even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You see, that chair pyramid we did just a minute ago, the chair chain was no good when it was just one. He didn't have much, it didn't have much use. But once the other two connected on, then it had a use. The first thing we find about faith, if it's without works, it's useless. It doesn't do any good. What does it profit? He says before there in verse 14 and at the end of verse 15, what doth it profit? It makes you, A, unsure of your hope. In verse number 14, it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and hath not works, can faith save him? Now, he's not talking about your salvation on that. He's talking about, can the faith that has no works, can it save you? Can it help you? Can it do anything for you? I want to remind you tonight that someone that says they have faith, but there's no fruit, there's nothing that goes with it, they have to check up on their faith. Because I believe with all my heart, and the Bible teaches it, that what you get, when you get saved, what's inside of you will come out. Some way, shape, form, or fashion, it's going to come out. It's just like when a woman's pregnant. You're going to see it. It's going to be noticeable. And it changes the environment of the room when a pregnant lady walks in. The meanest man in the world will get up and give her a chair in an office somewhere because there's a difference there. It's useless because it makes you unsure of your hope. You see, if I have 100% faith and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me and forgive me of my sins, it'll give me a hope that I can't help but share with somebody. I want the world to know about it. I want them to know what He did for me. I want them to know that He found me in a little country church in Susamore, Alabama in September of 1982, in case I haven't told you before, as a six-year-old little boy in the backwoods of Alabama. I guarantee if I give you a map, most of you couldn't find Susamore, Alabama. But I promise you, I can take you to Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. I can take you to the pew where my parents set me until I was a teenager, right next to them. And during our revival in September of 1982, Tim Lee mounted a pulpit and preached his heart out. And I got saved. I have a hope that has legs, that puts my faith to movement and makes it work. Faith without works is useless. What doth it profit? Not only is it useless because it changes and makes you unsure of your hope, but it also makes you unable to help. Look at verse 15 and 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? If a brother or sister comes to you and says, I need something, I need some clothes, I'm cold, or I need something to eat, and you look at them and say, I'll pray for you, be ye filled and warmed. Now go your way. What good's it going to do them? Some of us like to eat. When I get to that point that I come to you and say, I need something to eat, don't put your arm out because I may bite it. Your faith becomes unable to help anybody if you don't put it to work. It becomes useless, unprofitable, useless. We have too much of that going on. And I find myself struggling with that sometimes because I see something or someone who needs help, but yet I've got something I need to go do. And I was like, we hadn't been dating long, Brother David, and I had to go get gas one night. It was real late. And I was leaving the Bible college, the dorms over in Clearwater, South Carolina, and it was not a bad area per se, but it's kind of a lot of backwoods rednecks that you have to really watch some of them. So I'm trying, about 11:30 at night, I'm on the phone with Whitney, and I'm trying to go find a gas station. And I pull up, and the gas station's closed. The lights are still on out at the pumps, and I pull in, and then I realize they're closed, and I turn the truck around, and there's a guy standing in front of me. 11:30 at night. I was like, what in the world? And she's like, what? And she's on the other end of the phone, and she's in Alabama. And I'm in South Carolina. I was like, there's a guy walking up to my truck. She's like, well, what are you doing? I was like, I'm stopping. She goes, don't you dare. She's like, it's the middle of the night. What if, I was like, well, you know, I mean, what am I going to do? Run over him? She goes, well, that's a thought. I'm like, baby, I can't do that. She goes, oh, yes, you can. So I stopped him. And he said, I need a ride. Can you take me up to so-and-so? And I was like, dude, I've barely got enough gas to even find a gas station. He goes, I can take you to the gas station and make sure that you get gas because I know where one's at. If you'll drop me off and where it's at, it's just right across the road. And I was like, okay. She's on the other end of the phone going, have you lost your mind? You've never seen this book over. What are you doing? She can't even halfway talk. She's getting very scared. He gets in the truck, and I'm talking to her, and I make sure he knows I'm talking to somebody. I try to cover my bases. He doesn't know that she's 6.5-7 hours away. But it wound up being harmless when we got out. He gave me money for gas. But had I been afraid to help, which naturally at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, you probably need to be a little bit careful about picking somebody up. Just, you know, a little footnote there. Be real cautious. But faith without works is useless. How long ago did y'all start the Bread of Life? A little over a year ago. We went to the very first Bread of Life feeding when they went out, and these people came out in lines. And I watched people from this church standing out there in the heat and in the sun, handing out meals, walking around talking to people that they had never seen before in their life, putting their faith into action. But if we'd have just stayed in here, we never would have taken up the money, we never would have got the bottled water, we wouldn't have got the meals, our faith would have been useless. To those guys, to those ladies, it renders our faith unable to help and unsure of our hope. Is your faith useful? Is your faith useful to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to the lady at the gas station, to the server at the restaurant? Is it useful? Not only that, number two, the second statement we find is found in verse number 18 through 20. Faith without works is unbelievable. Faith without works is unbelievable. In verse number 20, he says, But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? In verse number 18, the guy says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And he says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Faith without works is unbelievable. How is it unbelievable? How does it make your faith unbelievable? First of all, it makes your faith become all talk. You ever met somebody before that you were around a little while and then come to find out, you find out where they're going to church and you're like, huh? I found out about a guy yesterday when I had to work that he went to a certain church and I'm thinking, wow, what a testimony. I've been around him when he was upset. I've been around him when he was happy. I'm thinking, man, don't tell too many people you go to church there. It makes your faith become all talk. Faith without works makes it unbelievable because nobody would believe that this guy went to a church. I mean, his faith and his actions didn't line up. It makes it unbelievable. It makes it become all talk. In the first of the verse, you saw there that the man said, I have faith, but I have no works. And he says, you'll see my faith by my works. As the old saying goes, actions speak louder than words. I can tell you I love you all day long, but if you call me in the middle of the night and say, I need help with this, and I say, hey, I'll help you tomorrow, I don't get up yet. It's too early for me to get up. What have you got to say? I won't call that joker again next time. One of my best friends growing up through high school, all summer long, every summer, me and him, and there was five of us that grew up together. From the time school was out to the time school went back in, we were either camping. Every night, we were out riding four-wheelers, riding the horses. We were together. If Mama wanted to know where we were at, she would call his house, and his mother would say, yeah, they just left going to do so-and-so. or his mom would call mine. I mean, it's just that's the way it was. I lost a lot of respect and a lot of use for one of my best friends when my mother had to call me from work one day and ask me to come change a tire for her, bring the lug wrench and all, because she couldn't get it, she didn't have one with her. I got there and I found out that Tim had come by earlier and saw her there on the side of the road with a flat. Told her he was going to swim with a bunch of his buddies. If he needed anything, just let her know. Let him know. Give him a call later. Left her on the side of the road. Makes your faith unbelievable because it becomes all talk. I mean, we can talk a big game, but until we back it up, it's just talk. It becomes all talk. But not only does it become all talk, but it also becomes no different than anybody else. He says in verse number 18, he talks about verse number 19, thou believest that there is one God and thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. I mean, their belief has a little more action to it, obviously, because they tremble. They're afraid. Faith without works is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Not only is it all talk, but it's no different than anybody else's. College and career, very well familiar with a guy that I used to work with. His name's Bobby. And quite a few of you have heard some of the tales of Bobby. Bobby can tell the biggest and best tale, and it doesn't matter what you've done, Bobby's done better. Right before I left working with him, he came up to me and goes, dude, man, we were riding down the back roads the other day. We were over at Chickamauga, and he said, we were riding through there, and we come down Suicide Hill, and he said, I'm just getting into my truck. And Bobby's about 6'3", about 240. He's a pretty good-sized boy, and he's getting into his story. He's like, I'm just getting it down through there, and we're flying down through there. And he said, I'm going through there, and I'm jumping hills. And he said, I cleared one, and I looked, and there was a car pulling out from this little road on the side. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, it's too late now. He said, I cleared the car. Whew. He said, barely cleared his hood, hit on the other side, and kept rolling. He said, the buddy was right behind me, and he locked his brakes down and slid, and he said he almost smashed into him. He said, my buddy told me, he said, man, if I hadn't have been there, I wouldn't have believed it. And I said, you know what he said was right? I wasn't there, so I don't believe it. He said, I wouldn't lie to you. I said, I wasn't there. I'm not going to believe it. And you can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't have actions that somebody sees, it's unbelievable. He can say he jumped greater than evil Knievel, but if I didn't see it, I'm not going to believe it. And you can say that you're the greatest Christian in the world, and I can say that I am a great Christian. But if that's all that goes with it, I'm unbelievable. What about your faith? Is it believable? Will it hold up under a microscope? Do you cringe to tell somebody where you go to church because you know what you just said to them a minute ago? Now, granted, I live in a glass house like the rest of you. I'm subject to have rocks thrown at me just like anybody else. And I try my best every day to guard my testimony. And there are times when I really would love to lose it. I had a situation 2 days ago at work. I work on a robot that puts the glue on the glass that goes in the cars, and it's my responsibility to make sure the robot does its thing and keeps working. You know, the problem with that is, up till October of last year, I'd never touched a robot before in my life. Kind of a scary situation. You have a multi-million-dollar robot that you're responsible for, and you don't know how to turn it on. So I've learned a few things, and I'm working with it, and all of a sudden the machine stops. And it's not showing me any reason why it should be stopped. And I'm working on it, and I'm looking at it, and I call for my team lead to come over and give me a hand, and his radio's messed up, so he doesn't hear me for a few minutes. Well, you know, we're looking, you know, $10,000 every minute. The line stopped at the moment. That'll go up as production goes up. So all total, it was 20 minutes, which cost them 10 cars. And I'm looking at it, and he finally gets over there, and we're looking at it, trying to figure out what's going on, and we're rehoming the robot, and he's teaching me how to do all that, and I'm trying to do it. And one of the QC guys walks over there, and he said, right now it's probably not a good time, but I was like, it's not a good time. He come back a few minutes later, hey, man, I know right now it's probably not a good time, but I was like, it's not a good time. He doesn't come over two or three times before Curtis got over to help me, and he comes up and he goes, dude, I know right now it's not a good time. I was like, it's not a good time. Turn around, I go back to what I'm doing, and he goes, oh, okay, I'll come back later. We finally get the machine going, and I walk away, and it's like God said, good one, preacher man. Way to go. But he thinks a lot of you now. I was like, God, he asked for it. I'm trying to justify it in my heart. You know, Ashley, I'm thinking, you know, there's got to be some leeway here, God. I mean, come on. I went over to him. I said, I'm sorry. It sounded like I was rude. I said, but I had to focus on what I was doing, and I couldn't get it fixed with people asking me questions. He goes, I just needed to know if you had a precision screwdriver so I could tighten up my safety glasses. I'm thinking, did I really have to apologize for that? Can I slap him now? I looked at him and I said, yeah, I've got one. Come on. But is your faith believable? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm a country boy. At the moment he came over the third time, I wanted to slap him. I would just look and go, come back later. If you're dumb enough to. But is our faith believable? Do they see your works? First statement, faith without works is useless. The next statement we find, faith without works is unbelievable. But the last statement, we find it in verse 26. Faith without works is unnatural. Faith without works is unnatural. Look at verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now look at, simply look at the comparison that he gives us here. He gives us and he paints us a picture here that just, I mean, you can't help but understand what he's saying just by what he wrote. Now, you've probably seen some people that you just don't think there's not much going on inside them. And you've seen some people where it didn't look like there was much happening. You've seen people when they're on their highs, you've seen when they're on their lows. But I guarantee you, you've never seen anybody alive that doesn't have a soul, that doesn't have a spirit. To be absent from the body is where? To be present with the Lord. When the Spirit's gone, the body is not up and walking around. When the Spirit's gone, the body was not going to get up and go to work. When the Spirit's gone, the body has no life and it has no movement. And he reminds us in this that if the body, if there's no work to go with your faith is dead. It's unnatural. We talked about it being useless, but it's unnatural. Because when you and I get saved, we're not alone anymore. We have a comforter who moves inside of us and who wants to be shown out of us, who wants everyone else to see what he's doing in us and how he's changing us. And how he's helping us and growing us and maturing us and working through us. And it's unnatural for that not to happen. Faith without works is unnatural. Just as the body without the soul is dead, even so, faith without works is dead. We come in here on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. We try to make it back on Wednesday nights. We have visitation. We have girl visitation Tuesday night with Brother Darrell. We do these things and we have opportunities laid out in front of you for you to put your faith to work. in an environment and in an opportunity where you're not having to stand by yourself, but on our everyday basis, we need to just take us a stand and say, it's going to be natural for me to dig in right here, and I'm going to make a stand right here for the cause of Christ. I'm going to make a stand right where I am with my job. I'm going to take a stand with my family who doesn't come to church, doesn't care about God, that I am going to let them see my faith through my works. I'm not just going to invite them to church. I'm going to be there every time the doors are open. I'm going to support visitation. I'm going to support the Bread of Life. I'm going to support the nursing home ministry. I'm going to support everything that possibly can be a part of, because I want them to see my faith through my works. What about your faith? Is your faith useful? Does it have hope? Is it help for someone? What about your faith? Is it believable? What about your faith? Is it natural? Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I get nervous every time I go to hand out a tract. I get nervous every time I take the Bible and open it up to show somebody. But there's a natural instinct inside of me that wants to do that, that can't wait to do that, that wants to invite somebody to church, that wants to hand out another tract. What about each and every one of us tonight? We're going to Chicago. This will be the fourth missions trip of this year that this church has set up to give us opportunities to put our faith to work. And we have our opportunity this week. There's 9 of us going. And I'm looking, and I'm praying, and I'm begging God to change 9 people this week for us to come back with a greater hunger and desire to make our faith alive to those around us. The greater hunger and desire for everyone around us to see that it's natural, that it's useful, and that it's believable. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, nobody looking around. Please, nobody looking around. I'm going to ask you tonight to search your heart and ask yourself those same questions. Is my faith useful? Is my faith believable? Is it natural? Oh, gracious Father, I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, that I'm one of your children. I'm so thankful tonight, God, that you saved me and that you took up permanent residence inside my heart. I ask you, God, that you would help me even tonight, Lord, that my faith would be shown through my works. Not that I'm working to be accepted, but I work because I've been accepted by you. And I want the world to see what you've done for me. God, your word teaches, and your word helps us and encourages us. God, it even reminds us in Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Help us tonight, Lord God. Help us, God, to strengthen us to take our works and let the world see our faith. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Everybody stand with us.